Hey everybody, welcome to a deep dive on something that's pretty much unavoidable if you're in LA right now.
Wildfires.
Yeah. And we're not just going to read the headlines here. We're going to talk
Oh,
about what you can actually do to stay safe right here in LA.
it's scary stuff, but information's power, right? Like, luckily,
Not
there's tons of info out there to help us.
make smart choices.
Yeah.
Totally. So where should people be looking to stay updated?
Well, the CAL FIRE website is a great place to start. They've got these maps that update all the time for each fire, so you can track where the fire's going and even see potential evacuation routes.
Okay, so CAL FIRE for the big picture.
Right.
But what about more like local alerts?
Well, the state of California and LA County both have these alert systems that can go straight to your phone. We're talking texts, emails, even phone calls.
Whoa.
And don't forget Ventura County system too. They cover fires, earthquakes, basically anything you can think of.
Wow, so many options. Is there anything out there that's even more hyper-local, though?
There's this app Watch Duty. I think it's super interesting. It's got a network of retired firefighters. Basically, they monitor emergency radio all day and all night, so you get real-time updates from people who know what's up.
It's like your own personal fire watch.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've got information covered. Now, what about air quality? I mean, even if you're miles from a fire, that smoke can be a real hazard, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's sneaky. You don't always even smell it. Wildfire smoke can travel over 100 miles, and there's no safe level of exposure.
Yeah.
And it can really trigger asthma, worsen existing conditions, just generally make you feel terrible.
It's crazy how far it can travel. I remember a few years ago, I was miles from a fire and thought I was totally fine. And then all of a sudden, my throat was scratchy, my eyes were watering, I felt totally drained. I checked the air quality index and it was hazardous.
Yikes.
It was insane. I was so surprised.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we can't just rely on our senses. There are some great websites with real-time readings. AirNow, Gov is a good one for a quick check, and fire.airnow.gov actually has a visual map that shows how the smoke is impacting different areas.
Oh, that's really cool. Like a weather map, but for smoke. Okay, so let's say we've checked the air quality and it's not looking good. What are some things we can do to make our homes safer?
Well, the first thing is something that seems obvious, but people forget all the time. Close your windows and doors.
You'd be surprised how many people don't.
Make sure they're shut tight, like when you're trying to keep the heat out in the summer.
Every crack matters.
And if you have an air purifier, now is the time to use it. Make sure you've got a high-efficiency filter, one that can really trap those tiny smoke particles.
I've even heard of people putting damp towels by their doors to keep the smoke out. It's not perfect, but it can help.
Anything to create a tighter seal and keep that harmful air outside. Speaking of being prepared, though, you know what we can't forget?
The go bag.
A go bag.
I know it sounds a little dramatic, but seriously, having that pre-packed bag can make all the difference if you have to evacuate quickly.
It's like your safety net on the go. A backpack, or really any container that's easy to grab, filled with the essentials. Clothes, first aid kit, flashlight, car keys, of course, a 3-day supply of food and water.
It's easy to forget things when you're stressed. I remember one time I had to evacuate and totally forgot my allergy meds.
Oh
Not fun.
no.
Learned that lesson the hard way.
That's why that pre-packed bag is so crucial. You don't want to be scrambling for things when you need to get to safety. And something else we often forget about? Our furry friends.
Oh, that's right. Pets need protection too. What are some things we should be doing to keep them safe?
Well, first off, keep them inside as much as you can when the air quality is bad. Smoke inhalation is dangerous for them, too.
What about their paws? I've heard hot pavement can burn them during evacuations.
If you do have to evacuate, carry your pet or use booties to protect their paws.
And they need their own go bag, too, right? Like with vet records, leashes, medications, food, a recent picture just in case.
It's all about thinking ahead and being prepared.
So we've prepped our homes, our go bags are packed, our furry friends are taken care of. What if we actually need to evacuate? Where do we go?
Well, there are a couple of ways to find shelters. You can actually text shelter and then your zip code to 43362, and FEMA will send you a list of places nearby.
Okay.
LA County also has a list of shelters, and some of them are specifically for animals.
That's good to know. And these resources are being updated constantly, right?
Absolutely. Things change so fast during a wildfire, so always check official sources for the most up-to-date info. And speaking of updates, another thing to keep in mind is school closures.
Oh, yeah. A lot of parents are trying to figure out childcare right now. What's the best way to stay on top of that?
Well, the LA Times has a tracker that shows which schools are closed because of the fires. You can also check your child's school district website For example, UCLA has already announced they're going fully remote for Thursday and Friday.
Wow, things are moving fast.
Yeah.
So I guess the best advice is just contact your kid's school directly for the latest info.
Absolutely. And, you know, all this talk about evacuations and school closures brings up another thing, power outages. They happen pretty often during these events, and that can lead to some food safety issues.
Oh, food safety after a power outage. That's a whole other topic.
It is. I know I've definitely made some questionable choices when it comes to eating leftovers after the power's been out.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But there are actually some pretty clear guidelines from the CDC and other food safety experts. For example, did you know that a full freezer can keep food safe for like 48 hours?
Seriously? That long?
Yeah. It's like a giant cooler. A half full freezer is good for about 24. But the key is to check for ice crystals. If you see them, it means things are still frozen solid.
Okay. But what if things have started to thaw? Is it always a toss-it situation?
Not necessarily. Some things like hard cheese, butter, and most bread can be refrozen even if they've thawed a bit. But with things like meat, poultry, seafood, you got to be more careful. If they've been above 40 degrees for more than 2 hours, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, food poisoning on top of everything else would not be fun. It seems like there's so much to think about.
There is, but it's manageable if you break it down into steps. And remember, staying informed is the best way to stay safe. We've covered a lot today, but we're just getting started.
That's right. We'll be back for part two of our deep dive, where we'll have even more resources and tips to help you navigate this wildfire situation. Stay safe out there, and remember, we're all in this together.
You know, it's easy to feel overwhelmed with all this going on, but it's kind of cool to see how many resources are out there to help.
Yeah, I agree. It's about feeling prepared, not panicked. And speaking of preparedness, something I haven't really thought about is like the financial impact of these fires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, insurance can only do so much, right?
That's a really good point. The financial side of things can be tough, but luckily FEMA offers financial help to people impacted by disasters, including these wildfires.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good to know. So what kind of things can FEMA actually help with?
Well, if your home's been damaged or you had to evacuate, they can help with temporary housing. They can also help with home repairs and even replacing essential stuff that was lost in the fire.
Wow, they could be a lifesaver for people.
Yeah.
Where can people go to learn more about that?
Their website, disasterassistance.gov, is a good place to start. It's got all the details about who's eligible, how to apply, and what kind of help they offer.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And are there any, like, local organizations that can help, too?
For sure. The Red Cross is a great resource. They offer a bunch of services, like financial aid, shelter, even emotional support. And a lot of times you see community organizations stepping up to help as well.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see people coming together to support each other. Like, it really shows how strong this community is.
Yeah.
You mentioned emotional support, though, and that's something we haven't really talked about. Wildfires can be super traumatic, even if you don't lose your home.
You're so right. It's not just about physical safety. It's about mental and emotional well-being, too. And there are definitely resources for that.
Like what, for example?
Well, there's the Disaster Distress Helpline.
Yep.
It's a 24/7 hotline that offers crisis counseling and support for anyone who's been through a disaster. You can call or text, and they'll connect you with a counselor. Sometimes just talking to someone who gets it can make a world of difference.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are there other options for emotional support, too?
Of course. Lots of mental health professionals specialize in trauma and disaster recovery. So don't hesitate to reach out to a therapist or counselor if you need help processing things.
Yeah, it's easy to focus on the immediate danger, but the recovery process is a long road. Having those support systems is so important.
Totally. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it reminds us that even though wildfires are destructive, they can also bring communities together in incredible ways. Like you see neighbors helping neighbors, volunteers offering support. It's a real sense of resilience.
Okay, so we've covered a lot, from staying informed and prepping our homes to evacuations and support resources. But is there anything people can do right now to be ready for future smoke events? Like, this seems to be the new normal in LA.
That's a great question. One thing everyone should do is stock up on N95 masks. Those are the ones that really filter out those tiny smoke particles.
Right, because I've heard that those surgical masks and cloth masks aren't as good for wildfire smoke.
They might help a little with bigger particles, but for the really small stuff that can hurt your lungs, N95s are the best.
So N95 masks are a must. What else?
Another good thing is to make sure you've got clean AC filters ready to go. When the air is bad, your AC is working overtime, and a clean filter helps it run better and clean the air inside your home more effectively.
Oh, that's a good point. I need to get on that.
There's also this really cool resource I wanted to mention. It's the South Coast Air Quality Management District, or AQMD. They have an interactive map that shows real-time air quality data for different areas. You can zoom in on your neighborhood and see what's going on.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'm a visual person, so yeah. I love maps.
And the best part is you can sign up for air quality alerts from them. They'll send you notifications when the air quality in your area reaches certain levels, so you can take precautions. It's like a smoke alarm for your neighborhood.
I'm signing up for that right now. This all just shows how important it is to be informed and prepared.
For sure. And speaking of preparedness, I think it's so important for everyone to have a family emergency plan.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What are the key things that should be in a good family emergency plan?
Well, first, you need a designated meeting place in case your family gets separated during an evacuation. It could be a friend's house outside the fire zone, a community center, even a landmark. Something easy to find and safe.
Right. You don't want to be trying to figure that out in the middle of an emergency.
Yeah.
What else?
It's super important to have a communication plan. Figure out who you'll contact if there's an emergency and make sure everyone in the family has those numbers saved.
And what about if cell service is out? It's good to have a backup, right? Like walkie-talkies or a designated radio station to tune into.
That's a really good point. And while we're on backups, it's also smart to have a backup evacuation route plan just in case your main one is blocked.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that. It's all about thinking ahead.
Exactly. And lastly, make sure everyone in the family knows how to shut off the gas, water, and electricity in your house.
Oh, yeah. That's easy to forget. But it's important to prevent more damage. Maybe we should all practice that a couple times a year.
Absolutely. Practice makes perfect, especially when it comes to safety. You know, it's been great talking through all this.
Yeah, me too. I feel a lot more prepared now than I did before we started.
That's great to hear. And remember, this is just a starting point. There are so many resources out there. Take some time to explore, learn more, and don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it.
Yeah, there's no shame in asking for help. In fact, it's a sign of strength. We're all in this together, so we've covered a ton today. But don't worry, we'll be back for part three of our deep dive with even more tips and advice for staying safe during this wildfire season. Until then, stay safe. And remember, we're here for you.
Welcome back to our deep dive. I feel like we've talked about so much already.
We have. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah. From real-time info and air quality to getting our homes ready and making those emergency plans. But you know, something that's been on my mind is what happens after a fire? Like, it's not just about surviving the flame.
Right. It's about the long-term effects. The recovery process can be just as tough as the fire itself.
Totally. And one thing I worry about is the money part.
Yes.
Like, insurance can only do so much.
Yeah, that financial burden can be really heavy. But there are some resources out there to help people.
Oh, that's good to know. So what kind of resources are we talking about?
Well, FEMA offers financial help to people who've been affected by disasters. And that includes wildfires. They can help with things like temporary housing if you've had to evacuate.
They can help with repairs to your home and even replacing essential stuff that got destroyed.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Where should people go to learn more about that?
Their website's a good place to start, disasterassistance.gov. It's got all the details on who qualifies, how to apply, and what kind of help they give.
Perfect. And are there any local organizations that can help too?
Definitely. The Red Cross is a great resource. They do a lot, like financial assistance, finding shelter, emotional support. And you know, we always see local community groups stepping up to help too.
Yeah, it's amazing how people come together when something like this happens. It really shows how strong this community is.
Yeah.
You mentioned emotional support.
Yeah.
And that's so important, too. Wildfires are traumatic experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if you don't lose your home, it can still be really hard to process everything.
Yeah, for sure. Where can people find that kind of support?
Well, there's a great hotline called the Disaster Distress Helpline. It's available 24/7, and it offers crisis counseling and support. For anyone who's been through a disaster, you can call or text and they'll connect you with someone who can help.
Sometimes just talking to someone who understands what you're going through can make all the difference.
It really can. And there are also therapists and counselors who specialize in trauma and disaster recovery. So if you need help processing everything, please don't hesitate to reach out to them.
You know, it's so easy to focus on the immediate danger, but the recovery process is important too. It's like a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Having those support systems in place can make a huge difference.
You're right. It's a long road. And it's a good reminder that even though wildfires are destructive, they can also bring communities together. You see neighbors helping each other, volunteers offering support. It's really inspiring.
It really is. So we've talked about a lot in this deep dive. Understanding how wildfires work, staying informed, prepping our homes, finding support during recovery. If there's one thing I want people to take away from this, it's that we're not alone. There are resources out there, people who care, and there's always hope.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
The human spirit, especially here in LA, is incredible.
It really is. And on that note, we're going to wrap up our deep dive into navigating LA's wildfires. We hope you found this helpful and maybe even a little bit empowering.
Stay safe out there.
Stay informed and stay connected. We're all in this together.